Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from Singapore, Mr. Manish Arneja. Manish, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me.
Thank you. Manish is the managing partner of the Resilience Institute. So Manish, before we talk about Resilience and Resilience Institute, tell me a little bit about your own journey in brief.
So I grew up in India and I spent first 16 of years of my career in change management and organizational restructuring across the globe. I left India, worked in Philippines, Portugal, Poland, UK, and all my work has been in restructuring. And I moved to Singapore in 2013. To do some other restructure and work in organizational development. So in 2016, I realized that a lot of my work had been giving in the area of building organizational change, building the capacity of companies to restructure, to create a new vision. And I realized that there's not much work being done to create the space for human growth. Mm-hmm. Where humans are more resilient, so they can cope up with changes and pressure. So that helped me to move into Resilience Institute in 2016-17. So since then, I've been working in that domain.
Oh, wonderful. And that's a great segue to move to the Resilience Institute. So tell me a little bit about what the Resilience Institute does and what is its mission?
So Resilience Institute started 20 years back in New Zealand by our founder, Dr. Sven Hansen. And the intention of Resilience Institute right now is more about bringing performance that is a lot of focus for a lot of organization. Build that with care. So when we talk about resilience, there are a lot of definition across the world, but our intention is that when people are working in the organizations, they can work with both of these domains together. And we work with various tools, practices, measurement, diagnostics to build these domains in the organizations. Does it give you a little bit of background?
Absolutely. And before we go any further, how do you define resilience?
I just said there are a lot of definitions of resilience. But in Resilience Institute, we define resilience as a competency that is a learned capability for any individual or leaders or organization. And we divide it into four key segments.
Okay.
The first that most of us would know, Ashutosh, the definition that we hear is ability to bounce back.
Correct.
And we say that it is the foundational capability of resilience. Not only just bounce back, most of the time when we go through challenges, we bounce forward.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at your own experience from COVID and being an entrepreneur for the last 4 years running this podcast show, any challenges we may have faced, most of the time we learn from them. Most of the time we are more capable from those challenges. So that's the first capability. The second thing is we talk about is resilience is my ability to grow. And my ability to grow as an individual where I can use my inner capability to grow. What are those inner capabilities? My physical domain, my emotional domain, my mental domain, my spiritual domain, as well as for organizations, how they create the energy, the enthusiasm, the growth mindset in the organization. The third key capability is how people can connect, how human connect to their own emotions, how they connect to others, which includes empathy, which includes EQ skills, as you talked about in a conversation earlier. And the fourth domain is to find flow, because most of the people think resilience is just bouncing back. But when we, our work actually, Ashutosh started 20 years back with working with elite athletes, and in the, our founder Dr. Sven Hansen had the background with the military. And I mean, what we realized, resilient individual is not about building the capability to bounce, but also to find flow. Flow is a high performance state when you're happy, when you're joyful, when you're fulfilled, when time just flies and you're enjoying life. So in Resilience Institute, we look at all these four domains.
Fascinating.
Look at where people can bounce, where they are struggling, where that is where your mental health challenges sit in, you know, depression, confusion, ADHD, or could be a state where companies are doing well, but they want to find flow. How can they stay resilient to find that meaning and joy and fulfillment in the life? Sorry, it's a long answer, but
it's a great response. It's a great response, Manish. And, you know, you spoke about resilience with the four components: bounce back, ability to grow, ability to connect, and ability to find the flow. What are some of the misconceptions about resilience and how do you address those?
I'm sure you may have heard some of the misconceptions already, right? In your career, in your time, understanding about resilience. But when I grew up in India, the word resilience was used to me to put pressure. Correct. In fact, not to release pressure. So my parents would say, oh, you have to be resilient. You have to keep going. You got to be here. You have to get an A. So the one big misconception people have about resilience is short term.
Correct.
That I have to hit my targets. I have to hit my number. And resilience is about grit to the highest volume of capacity. But what we understood, and I understood working with resilience, is not such a hard component. It has a lot of heart in it. It includes components of mindfulness. It includes components of empathy. It includes expanding our inner capability for a long term. That means if I am working today with joy, can I work at the same level with the same speed when I'm 60, when I'm 70? If I am bouncing quickly, can I bounce faster in the future? Can I have flow even when I am at the last area of my career? So one big misconception is to move that from a short-term perspective, you know, push,
correct,
and find that needle to look at more long-term. Rather than looking at it as a sprint, more looking at it as a marathon of building resilience capacity.
What a great response. Thank you. My next question is, you know, Manish, and you just spoke about COVID. How has the COVID pandemic impacted the need for workplace resilience? And what lessons can we take away from it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And COVID just magnified the issue which was already present.
Correct.
Yeah, the companies have been talking about VUCA world, changes, etc. And so let's say a human capacity at this level, Ashutosh. And they were marginalizing work until this level already. Yeah, because people are working out, working too late and pressure, they're managing the pressure. But suddenly with COVID, the pressures have gone up through the roof. And now my capacity that was at this level was not able to handle that challenge. So for many people, they went downhill. So take an example of the gym. Let's say your muscles are only able to pick up 10 kgs. And suddenly you've been asked to pick 20 kgs. You're going to have a bit of a problem with your muscles, right? Sickness, backache can happen. Same happened with COVID. And that's why people got really aware of, oh, there's a lot of burnout in my companies. It was a hidden issue, but it was not talked about. And now it became more vocal. People talked about it. So I think that's what happened. And also they realized that the way we are working is not working anymore. There are a lot of resilience capacity people have. We just have to amplify that. People can work independently. We can trust them. We can let them grow. We can give hybrid opportunities for individuals. So there are a few positives and negatives that came up with COVID. That's what I experienced during my time in the last 2 or 3 years.
Amazing. Thank you. My next question is that how can organizations foster a culture of resilience at the workplace?
How can organizations foster the culture of resilience? I'll share my examples, and I'm sure we have a organizational definition. But the way I have understood is I have tried to share about resilience in organizations for a long period of time. And one thing I realized that many people in the organization are not aware. They're not aware that they are going down the spiral of their well-being and resilience. They don't care. It's like, okay, I'm working for money. I have to go to job. I have to just keep going. They have no idea what's working or not working. They don't have any idea that maybe I'm feeling anxious. Maybe my sleep is broken. Maybe my resilience is broken. They don't have no idea probably on what a good state of life is when I'm happy, when I'm joyful.
Correct.
So my first invitation, if you're a leader listening to the podcast today, is really make sure that you have a clarity to make measurement a priority. Because a lot of loose sentiments are around, oh, you go to yoga class, you build resilience, your well-being is resilience, mental health workshop is resilience. In the organizations, if you have to work on building resilience, you have to start to measure. What gets measured gets changed.
Correct.
When people see I'm in the red zone, I'm not doing as well as compared to people, maybe I'm having anxiety issues, or maybe I'm not finding purpose and fulfillment, I can work on something, because leaders who are resilient can do something. So that's my first invitation. Even if you don't measure through a diagnostic like we have, you can start to check in with yourself every day as an organization leader. Is my team feeling burnout, they're going down, or are they more happy or joyful? Just as a quick snapshot of scan. Mm-hmm. Second thing is we have to start with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And how the leaders will show create a whole lot of culture
mm-hmm.
in an organization that build resilience. Most of the time, leaders say, okay, give a resilience workshop for my team, mm-hmm. grow their muscles, but it doesn't work mm-hmm. because the environment around is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
The environment is not supporting the growth of a leader or an individual to thrive. So our intention for us is first, put the mask on for the leaders, because mm-hmm. what are the studies have found?
Mm-hmm.
If leaders are struggling, they make other people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
If they are always stressed out, they walk to the office in panic state, do you think they're going to create a happy, resilient culture?
Correct.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the third invitation for us is to keep things practical so people know how to build that up and understand that it is not a domain of just growth mindset and courage. It's also include physiology, our emotional state, and how do we bring small elements that can create happiness and joy and resilience in the organizations.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. And therefore, you know, you've told me about how organizations can foster a culture mm-hmm. of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
My next question is, how can employees support their employers mm-hmm. in developing resilience? How can I as an employee?
Support. I mean, there are many things.
Yeah.
So because first
it's
very
easy for me to go and say, oh, you know, my company doesn't do this, or my boss is burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
But any kind of an attempt to foster resilience mm-hmm. is a two-way street.
Yes, of course. So it starts with me, as I said. It is a huge individual domain. So the mm-hmm. first thing is, for having a perspective, in if you're an individual listening to the podcast, when we talk about resilience, is my inner capability.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's something that I can change within me.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the external situation. Let's say there are pressures coming in, there are challenges coming in, there is COVID, there's pandemic, that's an external environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I don't know how to disassociate from the external environment and I don't work on myself, I would not be able to handle the situation. If it is today COVID, tomorrow it will be job loss, third day maybe financial loss. The point is, first to know resilience is for me to change my inner state
mm-hmm.
and the capability that I can grow. Resilience is like growing. Mm-hmm. So what can I grow? My resilience starts with me first noticing my three states. Check
mm-hmm.
body,
mm-hmm.
check your emotions,
mm-hmm.
and check your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is your body energized on a mm-hmm. scale of 1 to 10? When you wake up, do you have the level of energy that you need to sustain through the day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people have no idea. They have no idea. They just wake up, live their life automatically.
Correct.
They have no idea that my sleep is broken, my battery is going, I'm taking 6 coffees during the day. Check your mind. Most of the people are struggling. They can't focus now. As you know, TikTok, all these domains for young people is creating a lot of havoc in their mind.
Correct.
Earlier, a human being, let's say a highly resilient individual, you know, the biggest capability of their mind is, I can focus.
Correct.
Most people cannot focus right now.
Mm.
They're doing 16 things. Their mind is running past, future, random. So check, where is my mind right now? I'm here in the webinar, or my mind is thinking about tomorrow
mm.
or yesterday. And third is to check your emotions. Is there emotions that I can grow? And there are a lot of positive emotions we can grow. Gratitude, joy, happiness, peace, empathy. So the intention for any individual is, forget about the situation outside. You see what can you do with yourself.
Mm.
And that in things that you can change. Nothing mm. away from these three things. You check your body. What can I do with my body? Check your emotions. Check your mindset. And many practice people can do. So maybe fix your sleep. Maybe have meditation. Maybe have a good meal. Maybe mm. connect with people that you can work with. Maybe you find some joy and purpose to get your mind in focus. Yeah, so we may not have time for that, but no, I think starting with that would be good.
Yeah, it's a great response. Thank you. My next question is about the role emotional intelligence plays in building workplace resilience. Mm-hmm. And how can employees develop strong emotional intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, it's connected to what I said earlier. So when you say workplace resilience, it has the impact of 4 key domains of growth, right? How people feel less stressful,
mm-hmm.
how people are fielding the physical energy and momentum and well-being in the organization, how is the mindset, and how is the emotional energy. So one of the domain that creates that sense of connection is EQ. Yeah. And emotional intelligence focus a lot on the emotional space.
Correct.
Now, in the organizations, resilience is built when people can work together without issues. Right. That means whatever they have a judgment or an issue with somebody else, they're able to talk it out, which we call psychological safety. That means I don't hold any grudges with somebody else. I can share it to Ashu. Ashu, you didn't do this thing well. Can we talk about it? Can we sort it out? Clean it up. And that the priority and psychological safety is quite hugely used in the world today. But when we talk about emotional resilience, we start with creating safety that I can say to Ashutosh, give him feedback. He can give me feedback. I'm open and honest. The second is for me to learn about the person in front of me, my boss, my team, to be empathetic, not to check my body, not to check my emotions, but also to check the emotions of the other person. What does the person feel? How can I attune myself to other person's individual?
Yeah.
And the third EQ level, which not many people talk about, is creating positive cultures.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about positive leadership and how do leaders create positive way of living in the organization? How can they build smile? How can they be appreciative of the people around them? And these three domains. So create some psychological safety if you're working on EQ.
Yeah.
Number two is to really work on knowing each other better. What are their emotional domains? How can I meet the needs of the person in front of me? And the third is to create positive leadership and positive mindset across in the teams.
Well said. Well said. My next question is about leaders. You know, you spoke about a few minutes ago about how can a leader who's in always in a bad or a frame of mind or is always upset create an environment of resilience. My question is, how do different leadership styles contribute to the development of workplace resilience?
Wow, very good question. And I have a very technical answer to that, which is research-based, looking at Daniel Goleman's six styles. But I will give you a little bit just common sense answer around leadership style. And leaders who are working from sense of lack. And what is that sense of lack? Sense of lack is I am either very frustrated, filled up with a lot of anger. And when I am going to be with a lot of anger and a resolution and a person who is go-getter and wants to fix everything and, you know, always on the edge, is going to make life miserable because frustration will show up from that human being. There are some leaders who are always anxious, worried. What will happen? Micromanage everywhere. That leadership style won't run. And there are other leaders who are always in the space of denial, hopelessness, no vision, no clarity, no drive. That won't work too. So this, if you look at this style, where does it come from? It comes from my fight, flight or freeze response. If I'm in a fight state, anger, frustration will show up very regularly. If I'm in a flight state, you know, anxiety will show up. In freeze state, more of my hopelessness and resignation will start to show up. So the style that works well for a reason is first having that awareness that I am okay. And if I am okay, I can take care of others. If you are not okay, you will show up those poison around you. So how do we create a style when people feel okay? That means I feel safe for myself and I can create some joy and love and vibrancy. So we start with leaders who feel okay with themselves. Yeah. And that creates a space where good other styles can flourish, such as coaching style, where I am supporting others, such as visionary style, where I'm creating a vision and drive, because it's not about me. It's about creating something bigger than us.
Correct.
You know, so I think we start with how do you stay okay? That don't create a fight or flight response in the team, and also create some coaching culture, some visionary culture, so that you can take teams forward.
How interesting. My next question to you, Manish, is on diversity and inclusion. What role does diversity and inclusion play in fostering a culture of resilience in an organization?
I don't have much data. We haven't done much research in the mm-hmm. Institute around diversity and inclusion because there are different parallel streams which people sure. work on in diversity and resilience. But my gut feel answer is working with leaders, and a very subjective answer is that when people feel included, mm-hmm. they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And they create that emotional openness for people to talk about issues and resolve it at their level.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way where team don't feel alienated, they mm-hmm. don't feel like somebody is judging them or taking things against them because of their race, their colors, their age, their gender,
mm-hmm.
They're able to show their best self. They're mm-hmm. more able to get into the flow state.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say if I come to the work and I know my boss is judging me because I'm a woman, or I'm less than 30 years old, I will be thinking, oh, what is he doing? Is he going to reprimand me? I'm not going to find flow. I'll be working on fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut feel is that when a person feels safe, his ability to thrive, blossom out of new creative ideas will happen mm-hmm. only when I feel that safety.
Mm-hmm.
And having inclusion, having a feeling of inclusion in the organization create that safety.
Mm, well said, well said. So Manish, I have time for two more questions for you.
Okay.
My next question is that, given the economic climate today, organizations are going through some tough times.
Mm-hmm.
How can organizations handle setbacks or crises in order to build resilience?
Wow, it depends on the capability of the organization. Can you repeat that question again?
So how can an organization handle mm-hmm. setbacks or crisis
mm-hmm.
to build resilience
mm-hmm.
for their employees, of course?
Yeah, I think it's a long answer, but for just a short area, what is resilience? My ability to bounce back, and when stresses are happening, I'm able to take the pressure away and do something so that I can bounce to the same level or higher.
Mm.
Yeah. So one area of that where we focus on resilience institute is people resilience, which is human resilience, on how people can develop their skills that when things get difficult, I can change my mindset. I can be more agile. I can find different solutions and opportunities and still find flow regardless of pressures.
Mm.
Yeah. And that I don't get stuck into the downward spiral. So something that helps leaders to focus on that human resilience mm-hmm. and keep that capacity higher will be really useful. Giving them some training, giving them some knowledge, giving them some awareness that you can change your physiology, your psychology, your ability to thrive. The other is where a lot of other domains of resilience are, is strategic operational resilience, which is not just people. It looks at, do we have cash flow? Do we have the ability to thrive when a lot of challenges will hit? And there are a lot of risk management people and verticals who work on that area. So they are resilient. Let's say if you have a huge debt, suddenly the thing project you took on and didn't work on well, do I have the cash flow? Do I have other alternative sources of income, diversified portfolio? All of those things can help organization to build resilience. We don't focus on that, but there are a lot of good consultants who have great expertise in building that hard level of resilience. We focus on the soft side.
Yeah, well said. And my last question to you, Manish, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your amazing understanding of resilience and all the things that you have told us,
mm-hmm.
what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away on the topic of maintaining resilience in the face of continuous change at the workplace?
Hmm. I think I'll focus on individuals because they are individual listeners.
Yeah.
My message to all the people who are listening in, the first is don't be in a rush.
Hmm.
Don't be the person who is always waking up and running his or her life in an automatic zone.
Yeah.
If you're just waking up and rushing and going to work and you realize how come it's 2nd of May, my time just flew because I have no awareness, zero, about me. Is my heart rate becoming difficult? Is my health deteriorating? Is my mind going somewhere else? Is my emotions becoming really fragile? And that invitation for them is to slow down, measure, check in. How am I doing?
Yeah.
Maybe a few times in a day. As you wake up, am I happier than yesterday? Am I more energetic than yesterday? Is my energy depleted? Do I have the energy to work on taking another call or not? And the more sensing you have, your psychology and physiology will start to work in tandem.
Wonderful.
And you will know that this is my level of peak. After that, I'm going to go in decline. And anything I'll do will not be so productive as I would do.
Correct.
Yeah. And so that is to take a check-in, take a pause, slow down, and notice your life from an outside, not just stuck into that game forever.
Right, right.
And the second is, do not underestimate the power of your body. Most of the youth I work with, and I had amazing results when people have started to not just focus on their mental health and they think, oh, my mind I need to control.
Yeah.
You start with your foundation.
Yeah.
Am I having 7 to 8 hours of sleep? Because sleep, in our resilience research in 2022 in COVID, of the 60 factors of resilience, sleep quality has come as number one in the last 20 years.
Wow.
As number one. That means a resilient leader on the top 10% has a much better quality of sleep versus the bottom 10. What does it tell me? It tells me that you cannot underestimate our human rhythm of performance. You cannot underestimate the power of having good level of recovery. You cannot underestimate the power of exercise. I had many examples, Ashutosh. Like, I was working with a coachee. He said, you know what? I'm really stressed out. Lots of challenges going on. And my job has changed. And I'm moving from one company to the other. You know what domain he started working on? Going for a small jog every morning. That changes emotional chemistry.
Correct.
You know, endorphins starts to change. Dopamine release starts to get balanced. Cortisol level starts to change. He starts to look at sunrise, sunset. You know, all those effects happens. You get to smile a little bit more. And you realize, I don't have to take things so seriously. My emotions are more present. My mind is more clear. So the second is, if you are listening to it, don't think about, oh, I have to fix my mind. How are you doing with your food? How are you doing with your sleep? And how are you doing with your movement? Am I sweating every day? Am I eating healthy? And am I sleeping well-rested 7 to 8 hours of sleep? And number three is, for a leader and an individual, resilience is all about growing in a direction. That means, if I have no direction, the starting journey is a failure of mind.
Correct.
You just go in multiple directions. Your TikTok rings in, you check your notification, and then you run and you go something else, and then email pops in. This will not make you resilient at all.
Correct.
Because your biggest resource of resilience is your mindset.
Correct.
And if your mind is fragile, you will not know what direction to take.
Correct.
The highest level of that mindset is, I have a purpose, I have a vision, I have a drive to be somewhere that nobody knows yet. But I know I will get there, and I'm single focused. So how do I start that single focus, that practice to get there, is for me to know that I have thoughts and I have to control them. Because these thoughts can come in my way of getting where I want to go. And these thoughts can become more and more and more the more I get stuck to the gadgets, the more I sleep late, the more I'm checking and multitasking. So the third advice to the youth here is, forget about having a great mindset. You close your notifications and make sure if you're doing something, you do for next 30 minutes, one thing at a time. And I think that would be my simple advice on how a practical level of growing your resilience starts with. You first start with checking in every day. You fix your sleep and start to build your focus. Maybe you start with mindfulness. Maybe you switch off your notification. Maybe don't check your emails. It will help your mental health to go at a much better level.
Well,
your resilience too starts to go up.
Well said. What a great response. And Manish, on that note, and your three incredible pieces of advice, don't be in a rush. And I love your three terms: slow down, measure, and check in. Second, you said, which is again so powerful, do not underestimate the power of your body. And the third one you said is, leadership is all about growing in a direction and therefore focus. Thank you so much, Manish, for speaking to me. I mean, this has been such an amazing conversation for me. I have understood and learned so many new things about resilience from you today. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of how resilience can be built in organizations, can be built by leaders, and can be supported by employees when they go and work in different organizations. I know you also talked about putting your devices away. For at least the last 10 years, I put my mobile phone away at 7 p.m. at night and do not check it till I wake up. And I'm a very early riser. I wake up at 5 o'clock. So I check my message only when I wake up. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh, for having me and for the wonderful work that you're doing to engage and develop the capability of leaders across the world. Thank you and have a good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.